Welcome to Chamber Talk with North Orange County Chamber. I'm Andrew Gregson, and our guest today is Joe Linz of Century 21 Discovery. Joe, thank you very much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me on board. I've been looking forward to this.
So, you're a main player here in town, and I'd like to first off say thank you very much for all your help that you gave us when I came on board here. You really did a great job. I appreciate that. And for those of you who don't know, Joe is actually my sponsor, and that's not AA sponsor. He's my sponsor for Rotary. So thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. I'm glad I did that. You know, you make an impact, and you've made an impact with the North Orange County Chamber as well, Andrew. And, you know, just to be able to spend time with you, and you have some great thoughts and great ideas, great energy level, and, you know, I appreciate your enthusiasm and what you give to me to inspire me as well. So thanks, bud.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Kicking off, so to say, with a really simple question, Joe. Can you tell us more about Century 21 brand itself, its purpose, and why franchise with them?
That's a great question. We've been a franchise with Century 21 for 37 years now, and you know, there is no better brand, in my opinion, obviously, because, you know, we adhere to that. But the other thing is, it is one of the most recognized brands in the real estate space out there. So when you're driving down the road and you see the Century 21 sign, you know, hey, they sell real estate, they sell homes, they sell investments, they list homes, it's what we do. And that's the main thing. If I thought, you know, Joe's Real Estate would have a good presence out there, you know, that's what it would be. But to be able to tag on to Century 21 with the Discovery brand, it doesn't get any better than that. And then the support that you get from, you know, what I call the corporate side of that, makes it a lot easier, because you don't have to reinvent things, you know. Agents and brokerages need to have a good CRM, a good tool to be able to reach out to people, a good marketing program, templates to be able to use. And, you know, to reinvent those things is, A, very costly, very time-consuming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you can go into a menu of items that Century 21 provides, it's just hands down the best. And then, again, I don't think there's any brand out there that's been around, with the exception of maybe in some independent family-owned brokerages. The brand itself is just, you know, iconic.
And thinking about what you were saying then, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you hear a lot about franchises, and often it's you get into a franchise and you're left alone. But having that support, it's like they're in it to win it. So yeah, it helps, benefits everyone, right? It makes sense.
Well, you know, if the franchisor will leave you alone, but for the main part, it's just like anything else, Andrew. You know, the more you get involved, the more you
get back.
Yeah. And the more you take advantage of the tools that are brought forth to you, instead of, you know, like we said earlier, reinventing them, maybe the problem is there's so much available through Century 21 that I can choose from, that it gets daunting at times. But, you know, the bottom line is they're there when you need them, and I'm really happy to have that as well. And I'm able to network with guys across the country, across the world.
Yeah, actually, that's true. Yeah,
that are making it happen. When there's a guy in Texas who's doing something that, you know, he's doing amazing stuff back there, I can give him a call and find out what he's doing, and I can implement what's relevant out here.
Right.
And it makes a difference in my life too, and vice versa. You know,
of course, we
exchange a lot of good ideas out there.
That's awesome. It's good to hear. So I was looking online earlier, and, you know, your business, it's Century 21 Discovery and Equity Escrow Group LTD. What is Equity Escrow?
Thanks for asking. Equity Escrow is an independent escrow company that's governed by the DFPI, and that's the Department of
somewhere.
Yeah, you know, it's the California Department. It used to be the Department of Corporations, and you know, you have to register with them, and you have to go through a background checks and all those things. And escrow is that third party that handles and disperses all the funds in a transaction, and really ensures that everybody does what they say they were going to do in writing. And they're like, if you know, think of an orchestra leader, They are the orchestra leader of the transaction by the direction of, you know, the agents that are involved in that.
And what types of services does your company fully provide? I mean, is it like a one-stop shop for real estate or buying or selling? Or
yeah, you know, the brokerage side, so there's two different entities, mm-hmm. and you've got the brokerage side, Century 21 Discovery, and we focus on listing and selling, you know, residential investment and commercial real estate. You know, so we do a lot of, we do a little bit of everything. We're not good at something. We're really good at everything that we're putting forth out there. We're also a quality service award-winning firm, which means, you know, we're doing the business, but we're also, our clients are recognizing that we do a good job.
Yeah.
And, you know, they appreciate that. And so that's critical. We've got good quality people that are doing and are proficient in those areas.
So on that point, Joe, I look around your office, and your team are obviously amazing. As everywhere I glance, you've got piles of trophies and awards. So do you mind sharing some of the accomplishments that they signify?
Thanks, Andrew. You know, the most important thing I think is client satisfaction, and really to provide quality customer service in the area of real estate to the consumer. That's number one. And then to be recognized for that, that's great. But those are the agent awards are the ones that are really, you know, those are the ones that, you know, that kind of, you know, come to the surface and bring the company. Without agent awards, you get no company awards. But anyway, I think that's important. So some of the awards that we have, the ones that is near and dear to me is our quality service award. And that's based on surveys that go out on each closing. And the consumer actually, you know, sends it back to us. And it's a neutral third party. We don't control it. We just send it out and they come back and we're recognized for that. So that's always a feel good. So at the end of the year, if we have to have so many that goes out, a large percentage of the transactions that has to go out, period. Responses have to be high in that percentages as well. And then the response has to be over an 80%, you know, response over 80% satisfaction.
Right, right.
And then to see some of the words that, you know, the testimonial isn't required.
Right.
But my goodness, I mean, some of the testimonials that are put in there are just amazing, because, you know, a good real estate agent is going to really establish a relationship with their client for, you know, 126 months, a lifetime. And, you know, and the appreciation, and all of a sudden you go from a daily communication, a daily phone call, a daily whatever it is, and the transaction completes, and it's like almost a letdown, you know, for all parties.
Right.
So that one is good. And then to be recognized for, on a national level, for production and the amount of transactions that we do, the amount of what we do, the number of transactions. And that's brought up against a statewide level, and a national level, and then an international level. And we've been ranked in the top 100 of internationally for as long as I can remember. And in California, we're always in the top group there. So we enjoy that, but you know what, Andrew, while we enjoy it, we don't take it for granted, and we
sure.
work really, really hard to maintain that and to grow and to become even better. I think, you know, not to jump on the Rams here for a second, but they won the Super Bowl last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
How frustrated are they that they're kind of, you know, they're having a tough year this year?
Yeah.
You know, and they're not doing it on purpose.
No.
But, you know, so we go through the ebbs and flows in real estate as well. And, you know, but the bottom line is we work really, really hard to make sure our client is satisfied at the end of the day with the services that we provide.
And really at the end of the day, as a past homeowner, when you're going through that stage, to be honest with you, unless you've done it loads of times yourself before, you really don't know anything that's going on.
Right.
But when you have an agent who really does walk you through it, explains the steps, and there's no sort of like jumping in and out. This is whether you're selling or buying. To be honest with you, it makes your sales process so much smoother. In fact, it's more of an enjoyable thing, which it should be, because it's probably one of the largest purchases you're ever going to do in your life. And therefore, if you have such a great experience in it, then really it's a great start, I feel, to a new loving home.
Well, you know, that's really well said. And the stress involved in buying and selling a home is ranks right up there with the top five.
Right.
And you're right about that. If an agent can give clear, concise, unbiased information to the client so that they can make a decision that's good for them, wow, you know, they're success on both sides. And be knowledgeable to be able to provide that kind of information. And then with the changing contracts, I remember, you know, I mean, yeah, when I started, there was a one-page contract. Now we're looking at a 3-inch file by the time we're done at the end of the day. It's like, oh, man, you better be able to, you know, get your way through that journey as well. So,
Joe, you have an incredible experience in the real estate business. You've been in the game for more than four decades, and you've had all sorts of jobs. You know, you've ranged from agent to branch sales manager, board chair, and even becoming an owner. So how would you describe the part that you play in the real estate industry today?
Wow. You know, I think I've always envisioned myself doing what I'm doing now. And it all started out when I was 7 years old. My mom gave me once I got married and she could trust me with some documents that when I was a little kid, you know, how moms save things. And this was a paper that I wrote. I was 7 years old, and the title was My Ambition. And right now I am doing exactly what that is, which is to own a real estate company.
Wow.
And work with my friends. So that's important to me. I'm a third generation. My father was a real estate broker. He worked for the county of Los Angeles, and then my grandparents were also. And to be able to do that is pretty spectacular. And then to do it in the residential area is even better for me. I really enjoy coaching and helping. And you know, it's like our mission statement on our side is to inspire our agents and employees to achieve their personal and professional goals. So that's important to me, to help people and to be available to them and to give, you know, good quality advice to our agents that can be passed along to their clients. So when you're working in a transaction, you know, chances are I've probably seen, you know, just about everything so far.
Right.
And I'm curious enough and still passionate enough to want to, you know,
be interested, be in there.
I'm in there, man. And to be able to say, you know what, well, here's what happened last time. That worked. It didn't work. Here's the strategy that we should use. And really the end result is to help the client, you know, achieve their goals.
Right.
And really figuring out what that is. And sometimes that takes a lot of listening too.
So if somebody was thinking of starting a career in real estate, and there's so many different moving parts, I suppose this is a two-sided question. You know, first off, how does somebody determine which avenue to choose? And then from that, how do they start?
So great question. I prefer residential. And the reason for that is when I was growing up, I was with my dad, and my dad was big influence and great guy. But being the commercial guy that he was, you know, we would drive around and look at commercial real estate, and he'd tell me about the transactions, and you know, we'd be at dinner with my mom and the rest of the family, and none of my other siblings went into real estate, so I listened up. But what I came to and for those of you who know me, I'm an emotional guy, you know, and there wasn't enough emotion in the commercial space for my brain. Now, I've got a son who loves that space and doing great work. Casey does great work. I've got JR in my office who does great work, ranked number one in the country last year.
It's like a machine.
Yeah, you know, a total machine. And so, you know, if I'm not the guy, you know, at least I have people around me that can make that happen.
Well, that's good leadership too as well, though, Joe. Sorry for interrupting there. It's great leadership because you know what your strengths and weaknesses are.
Right.
And then you sort out what others are, and then you put them together, and then it just makes things better.
You're right about that, Andrew. And really, and how do you choose that? Well, I think you got to look at that as an individual and say, you know, what is it that I want to do? And where is it that I'm good at? You know, am I good at analytical stuff? You know,
escrow, the commercial space.
If you're good at working with people and helping people achieve their dreams and home ownership and you know, lifestyle and all those things, residential would be the place for you. And then, you know, finding a good place to land.
And then what's the best place to start? Like, does somebody go to an agency? I mean, is there schooling? I mean,
That's the easiest question of all. Century 21 Discovery is the best place to start.
That was a leading question.
You know, I mean, why would you want to start anywhere else? And we are, you know, really agent-centric. We enjoy the training process. I mean, let's face it, you either enjoy that or you don't. And
somebody can come to you and they're not got the license, right? I mean,
we've got the real estate school. You got to get 3 classes out of the way before you can even sit for the state exam. Once you sit for the state exam and pass that, now you're licensed to sell real estate. But how are you going to do that?
Yeah. Right.
Now what? I remember when I got my license, that was my question. You know, gosh, I passed the test. I got the big envelope. Now what?
Right.
So that's the key. And to have somebody that you work with who really wants to train. We do a lot of training sessions in here. We're really fortunate to have, Stephanie is one of our partners, our daughter, Stephanie Godel, and she is, the incoming or president-elect for the Association of Realtors. So she's on the cutting edge of the contracts. And when the contracts are changing, which is like yearly, bi-yearly now, we're able to coach them up and be ahead of the game on that and as well. And we both like doing that. When you enjoy something, it's not work. Here we are a week before a major holiday and bring it on, man. I'm it's not like I'm Ebenezer Scrooge. I just like doing it.
Yeah. So anyway, Joe, just out of interest, what do you think about the current state of the real estate business? I mean, should people buy, sell, stay, wait? What do you think?
You know what? That's just an amazing, great question. I don't know how to give a short answer to it, but, you know, I remember years and years ago when interest rates were at 16%, and I'm out there selling houses. And, you know, if you talk to anybody who bought a home and paid 16% interest, they brag about it. They don't complain. They're bragging. I bought a home, 16%. Rates went down. They refied. Rates went down again. They refied again. The other thing is right now we're looking at interest rates. You know, they've gone up a little bit, but, you know, okay, we're back into a regular normal type market to where, we're at 6%, right around in there. That's not so bad. The thing about real estate is you got to start with where you're at, and if you're thinking about buying, then you need to think about, okay, great. Let's buy. Let's not try to time the market. Because you're never going to time the market perfectly. If you do, that's, more luck than anything,
right,
to be honest with you. And I think if you're thinking about selling, any time's a good time to sell if that's, on your plate, what you're thinking about doing. The mistake that people make is they begin to hoard cash. And you think about this for a second. And inflation eats away at cash. So inflation takes your money away.
Well, you won't save yourself to profit.
No. And what happens is you've got, for example, you have $100,000 in the bank. At the end of the year, that $100,000 is not worth $100,000 anymore because the inflation, the cost of goods has gone up. So it won't buy as much.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if you bought a home or bought a piece of real estate, that real estate is going to fluctuate. It's going to go up and down, but you still have an asset on your hands. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that people, they forget about is that, the interest deduction is a huge tax deduction when the interest that you pay on your loan. And then the property taxes that you pay are also a tax deduction. So, Uncle Sam is paying for a part of our home ownership along the way, which is really an advantage. You know, and it is a hedge against inflation, you know, and that's something that, you know, when you really think about it, it's like, oh, I never thought about it that much anymore. And then a place to really call your own. I mean, you know, I don't have to ask anybody's permission to, well, yes, I do have to ask Susie, but, you know, you don't have to ask permission if you want to paint the walls red, you know, and, you know, if you want to replace the driveway, you can, if you, you know, you can do, it's yours,
right?
It's yours, and it's something to call your own. And, you know, that makes a big, big, big difference. And real estate is the sense of ownership. It builds good neighborhoods. It's good for the community. It's good for everything. People with, you know, who own their own homes take care of their community. And, you know, you don't have people coming and going all the time and all that.
Well, pride of ownership, isn't it?
That's exactly right, Andrew. And so, you know, my advice with the current state of the market is that, you know, old cliche, it is what it is. If you have the ability to purchase and buy and own, then you should. If you need to begin with a strategy, you should come see us and let us help you with the strategy, because we're good at that. We're good at telling you, you know, this is what you need to do. And then we can also, you know, I talked about escrow being like the orchestra leader. Well, you know, the real estate professional plays that role as well. Mm-hmm. And really getting you in line with a lender who can work with you as well and give you what you would qualify for.
Right.
And, you know, your payment isn't always what you qualify for. You know, I was talking to a young couple the other day, and their response was, you know, I may qualify for, you know, $5,000 a month, but I only want to pay three. We can do that. You know, you can do that too. And that very wise for you, you know, you know, congratulations on that. So we can work, you know, our job is to work within what you need, what you want, and how those folks and matching those buyers and sellers together.
Well, I think, you know, as you look in history, because history does sort of like have a habit of repeating itself.
Yeah, it does.
You know, you're right. House prices go up and down.
Yeah.
So do rates. However, you can always remortgage, right? Well, that could be part of your plan.
That's just it. That is part of the plan. And you know, the funny thing is that you look at, you know, for crying out loud, for the last 40 years, you know, my average sales price, you know, when I started was, you know, 35,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look where they are now.
Yeah.
And I remember one of my boys bought a house, and I said to him, you know, hey, this thing's going to be worth, in 3 years, it's going to be worth, you know, $200,000 more.
Right.
And it is there, you know, and that did happen. And then the other thing is that you got to pay to rent. You got to pay to live someplace.
Somewhere, yeah.
So, you know, so don't get
caught. Unless you live with mom and dad.
That's exactly right. Right.
But then you're paying a price for living with mom and dad.
You're paying a price. You know, you're eating macaroni and cheese every night. You may be doing that anyway. I don't know. But the point is that, you know, you've got to pay rent someplace. Rent is guaranteed to go up. You get into a home and make a purchase, that payment stays static. Mm. Interest rates go down. You refinance, take advantage of that, lower your payments, and everything is good. So, you know, it's and just, you know, that's my advice on what the market's doing. And you know, rates are still, you know, a lot of these folks have never seen rates at 6% in a lifetime.
Right.
But, you know, this is like an average, below average over a 30-year span.
So is that also something that maybe, I don't know, I'm just pulling it out of the air there, but, you know, if you come to your office and you've got a plan and part of the plan is, well, you know, let's see how it rides, and then as inflation drops, is this something the office might, you know, contact the buyer with and say, look, we think we're now at a steady rate, it's not going to go anywhere for a little while, maybe you want to come in?
And you know, that's a great thought, you know, and we'll coach you up with that,
right?
And so you tell us that, okay, you may not be able to do it now, but if you accomplish this, and then or if this happens, you know, you're in a position at that point, you know, are we going to monitor that, are we going to help you with that? We'll be involved with that as much as the client will let us, and for us to put them on a what we call a drip campaign, to be able to send them, you know, properties or and take a look at, you know, you have the ability, this falls into your range, this may be what you're looking for, and then, you know, the lender also works hand in hand with that and saying, you know, okay, your rates are here, you know, your buying power just increased or your buying power decreased, whatever the case may be. Now, I started in a condominium and, you know, and don't have any regrets. I loved it, man. And then when we had Stephanie, Susie let me know that we needed to buy a home and what I could afford was out in Corona. You know, that's what I could afford. Mm-hmm. So sometimes drive equals price, you know, and that is, you know, but, you know, I remember, again, my mom and dad, you know, they'd buy 2x4s on payday and, you know, built the house around a garage, lived in the garage first.
I have one last question. So, you know, you hear a lot of it, especially you see it everywhere on social media. But, you know, is it worth people pulling out home equity loans now? Should you wait? What is it with that? What's going on with that?
Oh, man. The worst part about home equity loans is that, you know, having the discipline to not go buy a new car.
Right.
You know, or take a nice vacation or buy a boat, you know, and yeah, you can brag about, you know, gosh, I pay cash for the boat. Well, yeah, kind of, but
I owe someone.
you also refied the house. But, you know, I think that the main thing is if people can buy a home and pay it off, it's the biggest asset most of us will ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point in time, you know, retirement is much more manageable, much more easy. Much more enjoyable and a gathering place.
Hey, Joe, so I know I just had a set of last question like 2 or 3 questions ago, but I've just got another one. When people get to that age, as you were mentioning, you know, you own your home, whatever, what about the remortgage? Sorry, not the remortgage,
the reverse mortgage.
Yeah. Is that something your office can help or what?
Well, we know the folks that can help you with that or help, you know, people with that. And, you know, there's a lot of... you know, there's a lot of opinions on everything that we're talking about. As a matter of fact, everybody's a professional.
Of course.
But, you know, again, you got to figure out what works for you as an individual, what works for you and your family, what works, how does it work out? You know, and today's reverse mortgages are, you know, a completely different tool.
Not like they were.
No, it's not like they, you know, but nothing is like they were, you know.
Yeah, that's true too.
And you know, the new mortgages coming into the marketplace over the last 10 years are nothing like what caused the 2008, you know, the burst, they're two different, completely different animals, you know. Mm-hmm. In the past, the joke was, you know, if you fog up the mirror, you get a loan. Now you got to had qualify for these things coming in over the last, you know, 10 years. So we learned. Well, we didn't learn that the lenders did. Yeah. Our job isn't to monitor that. It's to help people buy and sell.
That's great. You know, you're the president and CEO of Century 21 Discovery and Equity Escrow Group. But how do you find or where do you find the capacity to donate your time and energy to volunteering? You know, you collect funds for people, you do mentoring, you're very engaged in the community for charitable activities. That's a lot of extra time, Joe. Where do you find that in?
You know, Andrew, I guess, yeah, when you think about it and, you know, when you stop and think about it, it's kind of daunting. But I'm really fortunate. It's a privilege. You know, you know, I remember, again, you know, you go back to your mom and dad and you watch how you grew up. And when our church needed a new hall, you know, my mom and dad went and pounded the nails and put the hall up.
Mm.
My dad would about every third Sunday would sell tickets and they'd have a raffle. So, you know, you lead by example. I saw that. And then, you know, my mom told me at a very early age, she said, you know, Joe, you thrive on responsibility. And yeah, she's right about that. And that's always stuck with me. And again, that was like 7, 8, 9 years old. But I really enjoy that. And it's a privilege, you know, for me to be involved with St. Jude on their board. That's, are you kidding me? That's a big privilege. Mm-hmm. Rotary. It's a big privilege. You know, to do some of the things that I've been allowed to do, it's, you know, just, I'm really grateful to have that opportunity to be able to give. And, you know, the more you give, the more satisfied you feel inside. And, you know, and I went to a course one time with one of my boys, and it was on entrepreneurship. And the professor said, you know, if you don't wake up tired as an entrepreneur, you're not working hard enough. So, you know, my goodness, I go to bed tired, wake up tired.
Exhausted.
You know, and plus, when you get involved in other organizations, it really gives you a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. You learn more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get this whole different perspective on your own life and your own business and what you can do to change and how you can be really effective and a better leader, period.
Yeah. No, it is. It's experience. It's all about experience, isn't it? So I know you've got a number of siblings, and the way you talk about your mum and dad, sounds like you were the prize child, which I can't believe. I always did that. So, you know, what were things like for Joe when he was growing up?
It's funny. We just had our over at my sister's house, and we got together. There were six of us. I've lost two brothers, unfortunately, but we're down to four, and I've got two older sisters. And they're just, man, the thing I remember about them is just, you know, always being able to hang out with them and enjoy them. And they were probably, I can't tell you how much older they were, but, you know, they're a good 10 years older than me.
Right.
And then, you know, at this little party we had for the holidays at my sister's house, you know, there's a couple of guys there from her class that I hadn't seen for 50, 60 years since she was in high school.
Wow.
And they were as nice Saturday night as they were back then, you know, seeing this little dorky kid running around. And then I've got a brother who's younger than me. He's just been a huge inspiration. I send a text out to him every single morning. He's a football coach, a head coach, and has just had a wonderful career. And he has a great family. And I'm just really admire him as well. So I've been really fortunate to have a great family behind me of growing up and having that. And then, you know, the funny thing about my dad was, and we came to this conclusion when we lost him, was our dad had the ability to have this individual relationship with each of us kids.
Mm.
But then he also had the master relationship.
Right.
And, you know, it's like I was having a conversation with Jeremy, my other son, just over the weekend at that same party. And I said to him, and he's got our grandson, Jonah. And I said, you know, Jeremy, and he's doing just a wonderful job as a father and his wife, Antoinette. And I got to tell you, you know, it's always seems like your goal is to do better than your parents. But that was tough going, you know, to figure out how do I do better than mom and dad.
Yeah,
and
he must have been a great communicator because it's hard to do that.
Yeah,
I see you do that though. You're good at talking to people at different levels. I see the way you know you talk to business people coming in. I see the way you know you're telling somebody to get off your car park. I might take that out, man. No, that was good one.
You gotta have fun. You gotta have fun. If you're not having fun, you're doing something wrong.
I know. It's good. All right, Joe. So, you know, you are busy. You've just explained to us that you know, if you're a good entrepreneur, you're supposed to go to bed extremely exhausted and wake up even more so. So, you know, everyone requires a break now and again. So, what is it that grounds you? What type of activity do you do to get your energy back?
Oh, man. You know, the best thing I enjoy is there's nothing better than family in my life. But, you know, every once in a while, you got to go lay in the mud. And what I mean by that is, you know, I say charge on a lot. And that comes from a little book that I read 100 years ago called The Rhinoceros Success. And, you know, a rhino is quite an animal. You know, it's hard to stop them once they get going. They're very fast. They're aggressive as well. But, you know, the amazing thing about them is that, and in the book, it's one big metaphor after another. But it talks about, you know, a successful rhino takes time to lay in the mud and really just, you know, relax. And I find myself doing that, not very often. It's not easy for me to do. You know, people say, you know, Joe, when are you going to retire? Well, you know, ask my wife. You know, she'll tell you that I start going nuts on Sunday afternoon at 2:00 looking for things to do, and it wouldn't be a good thing.
No.
But I love activity. I love people. And I think that when you you know, does it get to me every once in a while? Of course it does. But to be able to break away, I'm blessed to have, you know, Stephanie is right there with me, mm-hmm. and she can run the companies with no strain, no pain. You know, I'm not worried about that. But just enjoying it. I love getting up. I love going to work. I love the people that I'm with. It's like, you know, it's like hanging out with you. It's like going to Cheers every day. You know,
yeah.
How's it going?
Right, right. So, you know, I hear that from some, you know, like police chiefs sometimes, or, you know, people who used to run the hospital and stuff, like you're out there walking at 3 a.m. or whatever around the neighborhood. What's all that about, Joe? What goes on in your mind there?
You know, it's funny that you say that. Yeah, I get up every morning and get out and do, you know, 2, 3, 4 miles. And for a while there were, during the middle of COVID, we were doing, 10, 12 miles a day, you know, just to keep our heads on straight.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this morning, it was cold out there. It was, you know, I was,
got frostbite.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You know, it was like, holy mackerel. It's like 48 degrees out here. This is pretty cold. How dumb are you? And I asked Susie, I said, I'm beginning to, you know, is this worth it? You know, I mean, I've been doing this for, you know, 25 years. And, she said, well, yeah, of course, you know, I mean, either that, or you're going to end up in a wheelchair or in bed and, you know, that's the way you're going to spend the last years of your life, you know, but stay active. The other thing is I find myself solving a lot of issues that are in my head, mm-hmm. you know, when you're out there you're doing, you know, you're thinking about things, you're thinking them through, it works better. You're getting some blood into your brain. That's also good. But you know what, Andrew, man, I mean, it's really funny is that there's a group of people that you see every morning out there. And when you look at somebody who's doing the same thing you are and saying good morning, and they're smiling, and, you know, yeah, it's cold, and, you know, during the summertime you've got a pair of shorts on and a t-shirt, and wintertime you got, you know, your beanie, and you're bulked up and look like you gained 50 pounds, but it's just one big old jacket, you know. But, you know, it's all sanity. And then the other thing is, I really enjoy being a dad, and man, I loved when my kids were little.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get this other opportunity coming at you called grandparenting.
Right.
And I just don't want to be a slug.
Right, you know, right.
I want to be able to hang with these kids really, you know, be relevant. You know, be relevant in their lives too. And I think you can't do that without, you got to work.
Yeah. I love the story. And, you know, if you got the time, I'd love for you to share it, the time that you were walking around with the CEO of the hospital, and basically it went from you guys having a conversation to getting half of the city involved and the community, and then before you knew it, everybody had masks. You want to share that story? Because I feel that really is resonant here and shows how the community works.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, Brian Helleland and I were walking, and COVID was just kicking in, and we were on, and I'll never forget it, we were over here on Bass and Cherry, and approaching the driveway into the hospital, and I said, hey, Brian, so what do you need? He said, we need face masks, we need gear. And that was a Friday morning, and I said, let me see what I can do. Let me see what I can do. And you know, and so then Brian had another guy who was in plastics, and then I called my Rotary president at the time, Dan Elowine. I said, hey, you know, or can we do anything? You got anything going on here? He said, yeah, I think we can do something. And so by Sunday, we had put a program together, and we were able to donate, you know, over 10,000 masks to face shields,
mm-hmm.
to St. Jude, another, you know, thousands more to the other local hospitals in the system, and we were able to accomplish that. And Andrew, man, we sat over in Dan's factory at Pac-Man and in putting face shields together.
Right.
that saved lives and made our caregivers feel good about, you know, to be able to treat people and be safe and keep them safe as it was. And building more in my backyard, it was pretty incredible. You know, it was a pretty incredible community event.
That's what, to be honest with you, that story was, it's more to me when I was listening to it, because obviously, you know, recently being a part and joining Rotary was, you know, it's one of those stories, and the people who helped you, like when you were just mentioned, Danny gave up his factory, he's in Rotary. Like all these people, they just come together. We do a lot with Brett down at the Boys and Girls Club and things. Yeah. You want to share a little bit about Rotary? I mean, you are the president this year, and it is your job to, you know, share a little bit about it. You want to maybe give it a highlight there?
Yeah. Rotary is just it's a worldwide organization, and our club is celebrating its 100th year, which is pretty cool. And it's the Rotary Club of Fullerton, and we are, and it's all service above self. Mm. So, you know, for me, I am very much, the thing that draws me into Rotary is the local impact that we're able to make. I'm not too concerned about the worldwide. You know, there's plenty of organizations that do worldwide
things,
but what I'm really interested in is what can we do to help, you know, help our community. And Rotary has just been instrumental in that. And for example, right now we're in the process of our community investment awards, where we're awarding, you know, $1,500 grants, gifts to, you know, WTLC, which is the Women's Transitional Living Center, and different organizations, St. Jude, you know, we can name Boys and Girls Club. I mean, you know, it goes on and on. And we give away, this year we'll be giving away a little over $30,000. So that's a big deal. And to be able to help those folks achieve what they're achieving and what they're doing and how they're helping others. And, you know, it's like Tara's Chance over here, the equestrian therapy. There's so many things in this community that are, you know, selfless giving.
Mm-hmm,
and so we're able to support that. And then, Andrew, we get together for lunch on Wednesday and have a great time together. And really, it's a cool little healing spot.
Yeah, it is. I must admit it is. And you once mentioned it at one of the meetings. It's sort of like it's a time just to break. And that's what we try and do at the Chamber, is with the events that we do monthly, is the idea is that people just get away.
Yeah.
It's a break. You're in a room full of people who are very like-minded.
Yeah.
And nobody's challenging you there to do anything. They're just, you know, just there to get that break, almost like an energy reviver, isn't it?
Well, and that's what I mean. You know, I mean, that's just a little bit of time in that mud bath, you know, mm-hmm. and just being around other, like you said, like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
Who really care about each other and care about the community, and we can all learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right about that. And it's I don't want to say it's unique, because I want to believe that happens all over the place.
I think it does. So as we're closing to an end of the podcast today, Joe, is there anything we've missed or you'd like to mention?
I just want to mention that, you know, I mean, everybody knows I'm married to this great gal, Susie. And I don't know how I did that. I still don't. My mom was making fun of me yesterday when I was visiting her. And she told me, she said, you know, you picked really good, Joe. I said, well, Mom, I said, I got to be really, she picked me, you know, she's the one with the choice. I was begging. So, you know, I am really, really fortunate to have by my side. And, you know, and we were talking this morning, you know, Susie and I are just easy on each other. An example is I, after I got done with my walk, I put my gloves on her side view mirror on her car, right? And I go back and meet her at the YMCA and do a little workout. And then we come out and we get 3/4 of the way home and I realize my gloves are gone. Where the heck are the gloves? And so we turn around and we came back. We found them in the road back by the YMCA, mm-hmm. and spent 10 minutes of doing that. And I thanked her. And I said, you know, not everybody's, you know, spouse would say, hey, you know, let's go get them.
Right.
You know, without really getting kind of upset along the way, you know, male or female.
Right.
She said, well, you know, Joe, you'd do the same for me.
That's true.
And she's right. I would.
That's true. That's nice. That's yeah. nice ending that. Well, thank you very much, Joe, for coming today. Really appreciate it. Not that you had to come far because we're in your building, so good job. For those of you tuned in, thank you for listening. And we invite you to visit nocchamber.com and select Sign Up for News at the top of the page to join our mailing list. For more interviews, visit chambertalk.podbean.com. And we invite you to like, follow, and share Chamber Talk.